Oh, we're going live. All right. Welcome to Chaos, a weekly podcast exploring the messy and chaotic lives of founders, entrepreneurs, and innovators. Hello Chaos is one of the many resources brought to you by Orange Whip. That's Orange Whip, W-I-P for work in progress. Orange Whip is a multimedia company dedicated to serving founders and entrepreneurs across affiliate cities through hyper-local online platforms designed to inform, inspire, educate, and create connections to help founders along their journey. Orange Whip is part storyteller, part how-to guide, and navigator. We are the megaphone for founders telling real, raw, and honest stories, and why our mantra is where aha meets oh shit.
No comment.
No. My name is Jennifer Sutton, aka JJ. I'm the founder of Orange Whip and your podcast host. We record live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and publish on all podcast platforms on the following Sunday. On our podcast today, we welcome Kevin Weir to our 51st podcast episode. And Kevin and I go way back. Way back.
When?
And you are now with, you're an entrepreneur, you're a founder, a product developer at Dow Chemical, Milliken, and all sorts of places.
Yes, in the past.
In the past. Yes. And now you're supporting small businesses across the South Carolina.
Yes.
Right? With the SBDC, Small Business Development.
Centers. Good, you got it right.
Yeah. So, Kevin, thank you for coming on today. Thank you for being in the studio and joining us. Just tell us about your entrepreneurial journey and how you are a connector, why you're passionate about the founder journey.
Well, I guess it starts with your own traits, right? So I was brought up in Liverpool. If anybody knows anything about Liverpool, it's full of go-getters, go-doers. It's a port town. So it's been known to have fighters over there. And it's a town that struggled in the past. Very famous old city. And the trait of the people there is to fight for everything, you know, and fight for what's right. And typically people over there are good-hearted and stuff like that. And so you want to help people all the time. And also there's that tinge with natural creativity that's, you know, in your mind and stuff, and how you view things and look at things put you in the box of essentially being an entrepreneur, whether you like it or not.
Right.
So typical troublemaker, always wanting to do things different, make change, help people, all the traits of how you become an entrepreneur. But I think the journey really started when I started work and as an intrapreneur.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. Because we talk about entrepreneur versus entrepreneur. Why don't you tell people the difference?
Well, I just looked it up before we started. I was trying to do my homework, which is completely failed doing that. But when I looked up entrepreneur on Wikipedia, whatever, I don't see it like that. It talked about being a manager and allowing entrepreneurship to happen with an organization. But for me, an entrepreneur is an entrepreneur within an organization.
Right. So it's entrepreneurial spirit, right?
And actually not just talking it, but doing it. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. So if I look at when I started my first job with real job with Dow Chemical, whatever products they had, I was always playing with them, trying to make them different,
right,
talking with customers about them, even though I wasn't allowed to talk to customers in those days. I would find a way to do it, and I would bounce off the product ideas to them, now change them around. And then in my own time, even at weekends, I would come and change the product around, and then I would go hole to management, look what I've created. And they would just look at me and say, what are you doing that for? Get back to work, do your job.
Yeah.
As much, I said, you don't have time to do that. I said, I did it the weekends. So what's wrong with that?
But right.
The main thing was always, was the focus was always our customers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what makes a good brand. That's what makes a good go-to-market strategy is when you put that end user in the center.
In the center of everything.
In the center of everything. And it's funny, you know, to see the evolution of the company you start, you know, Dow had that mindset of, no, just do what you're told, not having that innovation mindset. And now it's like every company is like, how do we tap into being innovators inside?
That's right. And there's a lot of like courses you can do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get taught innovation and the NPD, new product development process and stage gate process and all that. But that's mechanical. I think entrepreneurship within an organization is a will to connect the outside with the inside, look at what you have, mm-hmm. where the creativity comes in, and to make that better. New methods, improved products, and things like that. And I remember when I was at Dow Chemical doing a presentation in front of 2,000 or 3,000 people at one of our big events, internal events. And I went onto the stage. In those days, you had that slide projector, and you wrote on those foils and yeah. you beamed it up. And then so I had this kind of presentation of all these people, and I said to them, we should tackle the sea container market. Sea containers, that's all injected polyurethane. Why would you, with the product that you've got, tackle that market? And I said, well, I've spoken to Maersk, the largest shipping line in the world, and talked to them about changing the floor of a sea container and making it into a structural sandwich element, insulated sandwich element, so they could get more in their container. It would insulate better. It would be 400 kilograms lighter, blah, blah, blah. And I just spat this out and I was laughed off stage, right? But sometimes you need air cover because the president of our business unit, $1.5 billion business unit at that time, came to me afterwards and said, you were very brave up there today. I was very smart. Mm-hmm. Go out there and tell me how I'm going to do it. And I will give you cover regarding the rest. And he did. And I went out to Hong Kong. I went, no engineer was going to Hong Kong. The people looking, where's Kevin gone? 2 weeks I was out in Hong Kong working with the big shipping lines. Come back, say, this is how we're going to do it. So then the big boss just goes to the plant and says, you're going to make that material. And we ended up selling $50 million on the first or second year of that product. And I was so successful. They gave me a mountain bike for it. So I was,
well, there you go.
So that's
there's your trophy.
Being an entrepreneur and an entrepreneur, because they made $50 million and I got $400 for a mountain bike, but I still got that mountain bike today.
Oh, that, well, then it was a good one.
That was a good one. I bought myself a good one.
But the learning experience of having that happen.
It was fantastic.
And seeing how, you know, a lot of companies are trying to create that culture of innovation and that,
they do.
And that attitude. I mean, that's like the trend of how do we make sure that our people feel like they have a voice and they can contribute to the bottom line and they can create and innovate. But 10, 15, that wasn't the norm.
Well, to be fair, Dow Chemical is a very innovative company. I know if you've just seen the news recently, they're coming out with mini nuclear plants. That was just come on the airways to drive their plants in interesting ways. They came out with solar panels for roofs well before solar panels. Now I don't think that worked out too well for them, but they're willing to have a go. And in my day, they were called the Dow Cowboys because they really let us loose to do crazy things. And it was a very good time in the late 80s and the 90s to work for that company. And they also then taught us the processes. So a lot of people think that being an entrepreneur or having, and we'll get into this a little bit later on the current state, is just serendipity and just like creativity. Mm-mm. They are elements you need, but also you need process.
You need structure.
You need structure
that's
and
right.
process. And that's what these companies, Dow, even Milliken and Company mm-hmm. here, they're very structured in how
which is where we met.
Is that where we met?
That's weird.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, you were great at marketing in those days, I remember. So the big companies do have the processes.
Yeah.
But I think it's just to my point I'm trying to get over is it's up to the individual to step out and be innovative in that space, come up with a really good story, mm-hmm. and then come back to the company. If it's a good story, they have the resources to make it happen.
Right. And I think that's where we're seeing a lot of the trends of people are getting these innovative ideas, but they're stepping out of the companies and going, you know what, I'm going to take this idea and run with it. And I think that's where a lot of startups and scale ups, where they struggle is having the know-how of what's the process, the stage gates, all the proper tools. And that's what you do at SBDC, is kind of working with these.
Yeah. Folks. So it's come like full circle. So I've been in business 46 years. It's a long old time. I don't know how many people of today's generation will be working 46 years, and I'm not finished yet. But being in the SBDC is almost like being a social worker for businesses. That's the way I describe it, because I'm not going to get rich doing it, but I'm going to get rich in the learnings that I get from working with my clients, and also what I'm able to, all this stuff that I've learned with Shell and with Dow and with Milliken and Company, to be able to take all that experience and give it back is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic organization, and I'm blessed to have that opportunity at my stage in my career to be able to give back to those clients.
Where do you see the most, I guess, common thread of when businesses come to SBDC? At what stage is it? Always all startups, or is it, you know what, I've been in business for 10 years and I'm struggling? Like what stage are they come into SBDC?
Yeah, it's a good question. If we take an 80-20 rule, I'd say 80% are early revenue or pre-revenue, and the other 20%, in terms of the number I have, are already, you know, looking at how to expand their business or how to exit their business.
Okay.
You know, in that phase of it. So one of the first things I do before I talk to my clients is do my own VOC, voice of customer,
with
them first. So before I dive in, like if you were come to me and say, hey, Kevin, you know, I've got Orange Whipkey, I'm not quite sure how to build it. A lot of it comes down to who you are, what your objectives are personally, what's the timeline of those objectives, and where you, what the current state of your business is. Because then you can decide what kind of help you're going to give them. For example, if a company wants to take their idea, do the product development, do the business development, and make the most out of that business, and run that business and then give it to the son or daughter, that's a different discussion on and timeline on how you do things compared to somebody that just wants to license a product or get in and get out within a 3-year period.
Right.
Because, you know, one needs VC and investments and a good then exit strategy, and the other one needs business growth strategy and how they're going to do that.
Right.
And it would be more about capital and investments and things like that in growing their business itself. So it depends on the maturity to, first of all, do that voice of customer and understand. And you'll be surprised on how many people haven't thought that out. Because they're so, you might have done this yourself when you started. You were so enveloped in the now and what you're doing that you haven't really thought to yourself, well, where's this going? And then how is that going to be managed? You might have an idea, but no detail.
Right.
So, yeah, if I break down what the current client base is looking for, it's probably things like, if I took the top 3 or 4, it would be strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't think about strategy. I talk about strategy. I would say business planning.
Yeah.
They call it business planning. But if you don't have a strategy, you can't create a business plan.
That's right.
So it's really business planning where we start having strategy discussions, right, around that.
Because a lot of people go right to tactics, which is...
And they'll go to tactics and they will say, I've got this product and what am I going to do next? So the next thing is the business planning. And in the business planning, you go through this because you're going to have a go-to-market strategy.
Right.
You're going to have all that stuff involved. So you start breaking it down and working on those individual...
Do you walk them through that whole stage? Like, do you guys assist, or is it more of, hey, here's some homework, or here's a class, or... How do you, how do you work with these businesses?
Yeah. I'll just finish the last thought before I go into that, but just hold that thought a second. The other couple of areas, I would say it's the business planning part. It's they don't have a team. around them. So there's a lot of individual or husband and wife, you know, mom and pops and stuff. So it's really, if they want to be successful, who is going to actually do the heavy lifting within right. that? So it's about creating an advisory board and a team of experts around them that can deliver on the technology or product or right. service or whatever it is. And then the one I always get on my soapbox about is funding. Mm-hmm. That's funding. Yep. Just wanna, because it's interesting, as an entrepreneur, you are expected to take all the risk with very little financial support. You take all the financial risk.
That's right.
And that's the difference between an entrepreneur and a person like me who was an intrapreneur. I was not willing to take the risk.
Right.
I wanted a good salary every right. week.
Or we see that with like solopreneurs too. I mean, someone's just looking for a few gigs.
Yeah.
They're not taking the risk. Yeah. Of that, you know, the so funding and the capital.
I yeah. know, and they expect to do the make their business with very little financial support. But as soon as they make some money, you know, if you're not plowing it back into your business, it's gone. Pachoo, it's gone, right?
Right.
So I would love to see, if I had one wish in South Carolina generally, is for more seed funding mm-hmm. for the early stage, so that they can actually develop something along with their business plan, but right. actually develop something, take it in front of a customer and get that feedback on it. It's a great idea, because you wouldn't believe how many clients come to me with ideas that are not very good.
Yeah.
But they totally believe in them. So part of my job in that case is to be a sounding board and mm-hmm. say, did you consider that? Mm-hmm. I am not sure, because I'm neutral.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't have that neutral, because it's friends, family, people they right, know. Right. Who's going to tell? We were talking about that before behind the camera. It's a nice, yeah. handsome guy there. we were talking before about this. Who is, you know, your sounding board? And right. people are being too nice to each other and things like that. Sometimes you have to be in the face and brutal. And I will, I get away with it a bit because I'm British, but I will say, are you ready for this?
Right.
Here's what I'm thinking. And then I will lay something out and say, what do you think about what I just said? And sometimes they will stop. But when an entrepreneur is totally convinced that they are doing the right thing and they're willing to spend the money, for example, on IP, mm-hmm. you know, which is thousands of dollars up front, right. with, you don't even know if you're going to get your patents. IP is intellectual property,
that's right.
of course. But they're going to spend all this money up front, but they may not know yet whether the market actually wants their product or not. Right. So I try to get them involved as quickly as possible in really understanding whether they have an idea is strong enough to warrant the investment that they're going to do. And yeah. if they just think about that for a minute, then I'm doing my job.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you, and then
you had a question.
I did have a question, but now I've got another one. We'll get okay. back to that one.
All right.
In the SBDA, do you find that you guys consult more businesses that are, service or tech, or like tangible product, like that needs manufacturing and supply chain and all that?
So it's all the above, but so within the SBDC, in this it's a US wide right. organization.
Like every city has them.
Every state yeah. has a number, and in South Carolina we have 20 offices across the state. We have 55 people and mm-hmm. Man in those offices, lady in those offices, people in those offices.
Right.
And they have backgrounds typically in finance, banking. They've been business folks and whatever. So the majority, you can walk into an SBDC and get free consulting. Mm-hmm. All we want in return is any attribution. So if I work with Orange Whip and you make $1 million next year, we just want to say, we helped you get that $1 million.
Right.
Because that goes back to the SBA, Small Business Administration. That's and right. it's all, you know, is it worth having the SBDC? Are they giving value for money? Because it's taxpayers' money, right, which right. is the right thing to do, right? And so within that, I would say 90% of the people walking in are small businesses that you would see in any strip mall, on okay. the high street, in downtown, and whatever.
So it's
in.
Just a full spectrum.
So from that perspective, yes. And then they employ me as the technology commercialization specialist, because okay. I come from that background.
Right.
So anyone that's making, doing, using advanced manufacturing or making a product, looking for federal grants or state grants and things like that, they will throw them over the fence to you. Me. Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll co-consult as well. So sometimes they'll help on the business planning, and I'm really doing the new product development side of it and the strategic intent.
Okay.
And what we also do that's of value is anybody we know the banks, we know the lenders.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been in business before, so we know other networks, and we will bring them together.
So the connectivity.
The connectivity is a very important part of what the SBDC does. And I think we had 20,000 interventions last year.
Did you say inventions?
Interventions.
Interventions.
Yeah.
Oh, connection.
Yeah, with
forums.
With potential
okay.
clients. Yeah, and I think that's the right number. And so every day we're in the trenches at the forefront with the businesses who need help, and that's we try to do our best. And then if we can't do something, we'll hand them over to another group that can help them. So sometimes it's a bit past the parcel, but generally we spend many, many hours and stay with the client from when they've got a first idea and they come in and they're
yeah.
starting an LLC right through to their IP, intellectual property, and the patents, trademarks, and things like that. That was me. And right through and then getting grants and loans to actually grow their business.
Okay.
And then we also look and help them through trainings, doing their QuickBooks, taxes, and things like that.
Okay, so you're really like a small, I mean, just truly an advisor all the way through.
That's right. I'm more on the tech side. And then we have import-export experts as well for anybody that's mm-hmm. looking to import or export abroad. And we also have PTAC, federal grant.
Mm-hmm.
That are good at getting federal business. We
gotcha.
Have experts in doing that.
Yeah. What? So most of the people come in, you're like, okay, they ask for this. And you're like, no, we need to back up and business planning strategy. What's other, like the typical questions or the struggles that founders or entrepreneurs, small business owners face?
Like, typical question. I've gone through it a little bit, but just to deep dive a little bit. Somebody will come on and say, "I've got a product. I need to get in front of somebody. I've got a product. I need to launch it." Yeah, I've got a business plan. They've never talked to a customer about it, right? So then when you're going through, if you think it's a linear process, the new product development process,
yeah.
or new business development process, of which product development is just a part of it.
Right.
What I always like to say is typically most clients are around their service and their product first. Actually, your service or your product should only be developed after you've spoken to the customers
mm-hmm.
first. Because what's the specification going to be? What's it going to look like?
Right.
How are you going to deliver it? What's your messaging going to be?
Right.
And pricing.
Price.
So for example, yesterday I was on with a client who has a very nice consumer product. It's a lighting product, big displays. And the question just was, how am I going to price this? You know?
Yeah.
And so I talked to him about finding the next best alternative.
Mm-hmm.
We call it MBA.
Right.
The next best alternative. There's no alternative. There's always an alternative.
There,
if
yeah.
they're not using your product, they're doing something else, right?
That's right.
So what is that, right? And go and figure that out. And we do market research reports as well.
Yeah.
That will help them. So we can give some free market research to help them along that. But basically, this person has to go out and really start talking to the customers and laying out why the product that he has so many benefits.
Hmm.
I was talking to him about the marketing equation mm-hmm. that I learned many, many years ago, which is V equals B minus C. V is value,
mm-hmm.
B is benefits, minus C, which is the cost.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter what you're doing and what you're looking for, you're always trying to deliver value to somebody.
Right.
So that's the big V. So if you want to bring Orange Whip to market,
right,
you've got to be creating some value, and you're doing that by having podcasts like
right.
this, right?
So content, yeah.
So it's content, right? And then there's the benefits or your customer benefits. What do they see as the benefit of that? And
right.
hopefully, yeah, you see benefits. And then it's minus the cost. I was free today, so that's
right.
great. So, but it's benefits minus cost. And mm-hmm. if you look at that all the time, if you want to price something and it's going to be higher, than the next best alternative. Right. You've got to create value. You've got to increase the benefits.
That's right.
Right. If you're lower price, you should, in theory, either reduce your benefits to get the same value.
So don't over-engineer your product.
So don't over-engineer your product. I had this discussion with this person yesterday, and then we talk about a value model where you look at the total benefits of acquiring that product or service.
Right.
It's not just the cost of what you pay, what to also bring in. So you've got, you know, intrinsic and extrinsic value. And so I mapped this out, and he just said, I got it. I'm on my bike. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks after I've talked to 10 clients and I've mapped all this out.
Yeah.
Job done. He's going to figure that out. Once you get the pricing and you think you know where that is, then you've got to go and validate it.
Right.
And there's lots of ways.
You can, we used to do conjoint studies to kind of,
for example,
as to test the pricing elasticity against the value, like the benefits.
That's right. Yeah. And it's smart if you can do that at that time. Other clients, This person had a garden center, a product to prevent bugs from eating your plants.
Okay. But like a bricks and mortar?
No, just a product made out of it. I mean, a lot of these people are making their product in their garage behind the house.
Yeah,
it's crazy. There's thousands in South Carolina doing this. And they've got this product and a little bit of packaging around. They say, hey, right. So have you been to the customer? No. Why?
Yeah.
Right? Because I've got all these networks. Because I'm afraid of somebody will steal my idea.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Trademark
it. That could happen. Trademark it and see if you can get some kind of basic provisional patent.
Right.
The trademark will only trademark the name, of course. It's not going to stop them from
copying
the product.
But the idea, but you're right, the patent.
So file a provisional patent. Before you do that, you have to talk to the customer. Is it worth $750 for you to do that?
$1,000
if you get a patent lawyer? I'm committed. Then go and do it.
Right.
As soon as you've got that, go and talk to Ace Hardware and Walmart and all this kind of thing. So this is the kind of feedback that we give. And that's okay. I needed somebody because you don't have anybody to talk to.
No, it's lonely.
It's
not just lonely. It's hard to navigate. It's really hard to navigate all that.
Yeah.
How many businesses, I mean, just for you as an individual at SBDC, how many are you juggling as the advisor?
But it's probably more than 60 at the moment.
Whoa. And how many? I mean, so you guys are juggling them in hundreds, if not thousands, across the state.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have the smallest number because it's so specialized. A lot of the folks with the rest of the businesses come in, they want to have a loan, they'll fill out the loan paper,
okay,
and then they'll go out. But for my job, because it's new product development, it's very tricky.
Hmm.
You're talking about materials, what materials you're going to use, manufacturing, how you're going to manufacture. I mean, there's so many facets to new product development and service development, you know, making apps. How am I going to make an app? Apps cost a fortune to make.
Yeah.
You know? So really, you know, getting around and reducing and doing wireframes and cheap ways to get it in front of your client first is some ways to get some feedback before you start spending $100,000 on an app.
We did that with Orange Whip. We created a whole different prototype of our online product and it bombed.
You did. Yeah. Well, thank God you tested it.
And then we went out to 1,000 entrepreneurs and founders, and they hated the first, which was a aggregated newsletter, and they hated it.
Mm.
And what they asked for was, you know, we kind of listened and we created Orange Whip, the online platform, based on all of their feedback.
And that is exactly the way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Kevin.
Yes. I forgot your name.
I know. No, I did not. Well, we have 10 minutes. Why are you shouting at? It's like, you can talk, Kristen. Well,
that's the handsome guy behind the camera. Yeah. We don't have any chat as well. If anybody wants a comment, by the way, then you can ask Jennifer all the hard questions.
What I was going to ask, like, if you had to create a solution or a model or something to help founders, whether it's in South Carolina, like, what do you think is the biggest gap or that we can fill, or what's the biggest gap to help a founder and entrepreneurs within South Carolina that can really make, you know, people go from that, I got it. Like,
I think their access to experienced people.
As in like networking?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think there's a lot done in Columbia in networks. There's a lot done in Charleston. And there's a lot of good work done here in the upstate, you know, and around the Greenville area. Mm-hmm. And what Next is doing and these Start Greenville programs. Right. Where
with like Furman. And
Furman, the Hills Institute, and all this are coming together. And we meet at Start Greenville. I think you're a part of this as well. Every couple of weeks. And we share what's going on within our organizations. And we suddenly you see people dropping a new client on your desk. Hey, can you help them? Can you help these and whatever? So that it becomes like an ecosystem for support. And the more, but it doesn't seem to be consolidated across the state. Mm-hmm. And I know the Department of Commerce and the Innovation Group.
Over and they're there, starting to like restructure, I think, and do some things there. And
yes, I think they've done a good job, Nancy and Julie, of going around and finding out what's going on within the state first, and then trying to find a way to glue it all together. So if, the more we can glue that, that's one thing. The second is, you asked a question before, you never came back about is what you do with your clients and stuff. And, you know, you can't do everything with the client because, you know, 80-20 rule, I'm working day to day with 20% of the 60 clients, but that the others come around because I just, you physically can't do it with a single person. There's too much to do. Is push folks out to other sources of support, like an accelerator, like a boot camp.
So to go, hey, you really need to go through this. You haven't thought through the business plan. Go to these 1-3 or whatever. And
I don't just push them there. Of course, I'm going to give them some stuff there, but there's some of the language that you don't. I always send them through Investopedia as well. So if you want to know what a SAM is, go to in Investopedia, and they'll tell you what the total addressable market and how you calculate it, what the service addressable market is. Because you need to understand this language if you're going to, especially in my area of tech, and they're going for grants and VC money, they want people to come in and pitch as a business person, an articulate business person. So I will give them the high level and then say, right, now go and do this. So I'll give an example. My friend Doug Hengis, a Builder Rocket. I met him a few months ago, and really nice guy, and he's got a kind of a web-based program for builders to help them manage the whole building process. It's extremely complicated, from supplier right through to the consumer, the person who's building the house. And he integrates all that, and it's great. And I said to him, why don't you do that boot camp over in Greer, you know, at the boot camp over there, and just jump on and see what you're going to do. You might get some networkers, and it's going to cost you a bit of money, but you're fine. Anyway, he goes, he kills it, wins it, wins $1,000, cost him $500 to do it. So he's a win-win, $500.
But got exposure.
He got exposure so much that within 4 weeks of that, he was pitching at the Next Accelerator and Innovation. And he actually did well with that and got another $25,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And since then, he's gone on and won another 50 because of the exposure. So I would say to your folks listening and any of them out there, say, what am I going to do next is get yourself exposed, you know, get yourself out there, find out locally what kind of, where you can go and pitch, even if it's 10 at the top or the brew or something like that. Just get out there. Greer has Ignite, the platform at Greer.
That's right.
And you can go out there on a windy Wednesday morning, and you can pitch your idea in front of people and get feedback.
Yeah,
but you get exposure. So I would say get out there and let people know that you're around, and then those mentors that are around will find you, and then you'll start getting more help.
That's good advice.
So
what keeps you up at night, Kevin?
Retirement.
Like how you want to retire?
So it's going to be, nothing really keeps me up at night anymore, because I think I've been through the evolution, going through business, and it's almost give back time now. Yeah. So I think if you ask me then instead, so nothing keeps me up. I'm lucky and blessed from that perspective. But I would say my passion is my clients. Mm-hmm. I love them to bits. They're my friends, like you, for example. You become friends and sisters and brothers, and I get the hit from seeing them be successful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
Is that what gets you up in the morning?
It gets me up in the morning, definitely, uh-huh. Yes.
Do you have any, like I call it the aha moments in your journey over, like the biggest aha moments?
I guess I wish I knew now and didn't have to go through the pain of learning it all. Because I've made a ton of mistakes.
Well, that's
And that's why I'm not big boss or CEO or something like that. I was a bit of a renegade. But I wouldn't change anything because I had a great journey. I've worked in Europe. I've worked in the United States. Mm-hmm. I've worked in South America. And I've done projects all around the world.
Well, and you've worked with some the biggest and best companies too. I mean,
yeah, and very, very lucky from that perspective. So yeah, just no worries. And now it's about give back and then reattaching again to, you know, friends and family and those that are far away.
What is next? What does retirement look like for you?
I don't call it retirement. I call it not having a 9 till 5.
Okay.
So I think a lot of people will be calling saying, hey, Kevin, can you help me with this? Oh my God. And I'm on the beach in Mauritius and I'm harpooning fish and I'm eating octopus. Can you leave me alone? But when they call me, of course I'll answer. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to a more of a life. You know, 46 years in business is a long time, mm-hmm. where it's been 8 till 5,
yeah,
you know, 300 days a year. So the thing is what's beyond that, and exploring that is going to be exciting.
That'll be fun.
Yes, you can come.
Yeah, because I'll
drive you around my Morris Minor.
That's right, because you England.
Yes,
you're going to go back to England, right, at some point.
So yeah, I'm going to go back to Germany, but I'm going to be part time in US and part time in Europe where my family is.
All right.
So yeah, well, I'll figure it out.
That's right. Any lasting advice that you would give any founders or entrepreneurs listening?
So it's funny. I have a client locally here, and it's stressful because entrepreneurship is about, it's a roller coaster. You're up one minute, you're down the next. Mm-hmm. And it's even more maybe right at the beginning when you're trying to get established. So you think you're there, you've got somebody on board, you got some money coming in, and then boom, it's gone, it's taken away from you. Mm. And so some of the clients panic around that, and they will either immediately change direction or they'll forget who they are. And I would say, be true to yourself. You've started a business because you're an entrepreneur, and create that culture of what you like. You've done here, in this little house, Bright and Go house. You've created that yourself, and congrats on that. Stay true to yourself, and don't panic. And then look for solutions instead. So I say to my clients, your solution set is one option. Mm-hmm. What other solutions are there to get you through this down part? And fan out before you fan in. Get all your solutions and then drop the best ones down and try them out and get through that period.
Right.
So I'd say ask for help and don't panic and yeah, you'll find a way.
Yeah. That's great advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There's not many in the chat, so.
That's good advice.
At least there's not people out there saying, rubbish. What are you doing? What are you saying there, man?
Well, Kevin, we're out of time, and I know you need to get on the road.
Yes.
I'm always amazed at how fast these things go. And I appreciate hanging out with you actually live in the studio. So where can people get a hold of either you or SBDC? Like, what is the best way to,
with you? Yeah, the first thing is to go to sc.sbdc.com.
Okay.
That's Small Business Development Centers, SC for South Carolina, .sbdc.com. And when you go in, you can...
Can they find you on the...
They can. I would sign up and then...
let
particularly
them assign?
Yeah, there's lots of great consultants all over the state. So you can go to your local area and find that. And if you want to talk with Kevin William, I wouldn't do that if I were you guys. But if you want to do that, you can just reach out. I need to talk with Kevin and then we can have a chat.
Yeah.
Happy to help you all out there.
Can they find you on LinkedIn?
Yes.
Are you on LinkedIn?
Yes. Yes. I'm actually on the Sand Dune National Park in a very kind of strange pose, but it is me.
That's what we put in the image.
Yes. That's right.
We're like, that's a nice LinkedIn profile.
I'd done it's my knees, and my knees click since was, then, so I killed myself doing that.
It thing. Was very you. So again, everybody, thank you so much, Kevin. Appreciate everything you do. This podcast episode will be published this coming Sunday and available on all podcast platforms. So whichever one is your favorite, you'll find us. It's under Hello Chaos. Subscribe to us, like, comment, share this great content because it is good content. Help us grow a more connected entrepreneurial community. That's what it's all about, right?
I'm up for that.
That's right.
To the entrepreneur.
Hello Chaos is one of the many resources brought to you by Orange Whip. Again, Orange Whip is a multimedia company dedicated to serving founders and entrepreneurs across affiliate cities through hyperlocal online platforms. We are the megaphone for founders telling real, raw, and honest stories. Orange Whip is a one-stop shop content hub for a founder in each market. Again, part storyteller, part how-to guide, local navigator. We have a filterable resource directory that you can choose whatever path you're on and whatever your needs are. It's localized. Each of our cities have anywhere from like 60 to 80 of local resources, like SBDC is in our resource directory.
Power to the entrepreneur.
There is a curated events calendar that's really what's up, and it's live events. It's accelerator, incubator, boot camp deadline applications. It's grant deadlines that are also in our events calendar, and it's localized, and we keep it up real time. And then there's a social chatter wall, so you can see in each local market what's the chatter among founders. We are currently in 3 markets in South Carolina, upstate, Midlands, and the Low Country. That would be the Greenville area, Columbia area, Charleston.
Great shit.
If you don't shrimp know and grits, the South Carolina markets. And if you'd like to be a guest on this podcast like Kevin, head over to orangewhip.com. And again, that's orangewhip.com. Fill out the form on our Hello Chaos page and subscribe to our, fill out that form. We will get you. Hopefully be a podcast guest. And while you're there, subscribe to our weekly newsletter called The Weekly Whip. We are ad supported through sponsored native content. Our content is free, accessible, and inclusive. And because of that, and who produces all that content is Break Marketing, which is our full service marketing and ad agency and is the studio for Orange Whip. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor of Orange Whip, please email us at hello@orangewhip.com. Well, y'all, thank you for tuning in to Hello Chaos. It is where aha meets oh shit. And again, I am your host.
That's a terrible tagline.
No, it's not.
It's horrid.
We actually have gotten podcast guests because they like our tagline. It is such a founder mindset.
I would never say that.
But yeah, we'll see you again next week.
Thanks for the platform. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks out there.
Everyone.